8:45 in the morning. I'm Elliot Wilson. I think we got Wale back on the line.
I'm back.
Wale.
These phones ain't treating me too good. What's up?
What's up, baby? Where you at right now?
Where do they go?
Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Jamaica, Mon?
Yeah, Jamaica. Yeah, Mon.
Yeah, Mon. Yo, Mon, I want to... Go ahead, Mon.
Nah, man, I appreciate you calling me early this morning, man. I appreciate it. Or me calling you, rather.
I wake you up every day. That's what I do. I give the Hawaiian wake-up call.
You just don't know, man. Elliot is influencing a lot of us young rappers these days, man. We have a lot of Elliot Wilson conversations. Who's going to make it on Rap Radar Top 5 today?
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And congratulations to you, too. I haven't spoken to you formally to congratulate you for your first gold record, man.
I got Hollywood on you.
I know. You might have changed your number on me, man.
Nah, man, it was a great look, man. The song actually happened on a fluke, man. Like, I remember I was going to Atlanta. Like, I was going to Atlanta, right? And Rick said, "Why the fuck are you going to Atlanta? Like, you don't need to be working." I was like, "Dog, I'm about to work, man. Let me sizzle real quick, man. Let me go to Atlanta real quick." So I went there, and this dude named Chubby Baby was taking me around. I was going to all these little. I went to like 6 parties.
Yep.
And it was when Gucci first came on. When I came back to the studio, he's like, "Man, why don't you go to the studio after? They still won't be in there." So I went to the studio like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's where the magic happens. That's the magic hour.
I was like, "Man, I'm just going to say bye to these niggas. I'm going to talk to them in the morning." And I saw Roscoe walking in the B-side studio. And it was like, "Man, you want to do the song?" I was like, "All right." And I don't think I've ever wrote a verse that fast in my life because I was just trying to go to sleep.
Yeah, it's funny because you put it on your mixtape, The More About Nothing, pretty early. I was talking to Farragut, and Farragut was saying he thought it was... A lot of people think it's your record at first.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the funny thing is I wasn't even going to put it on my mixtape. I was just going to let it be one of those things that I did that was just out there. And then DJ Omega was like, "Nah, fuck that. Man, you got to put that out. That's only starting to heat up." I'm like, "That's cool. That's cool." But if you actually look at the titles on the back of the mixtape, that's the only one that doesn't say Wale featuring, or it says Waka Flocka featuring Wale and Roscoe Dash.
Yeah, nah, this is a great record. It's a great record. And it's still hot in the radio. It's still hot in the clubs. It's still strong. Crazy, one of the strongest records of the year.
That dude is very consistent, man. I mean, you get all my respect, man.
You mean Waka, right?
Say what they want to say. Yeah, a lot of people say what they want to say, but you got to understand, the dude is making like 40 stacks a show. You know what I'm saying? Got three big records. A lot of people just need one.
So, Wale, what you saying is you fuck with Waka musically. Huh? You fuck with Waka musically?
You gotta understand. Yeah, I definitely fuck with Waka musically. You gotta understand.
Like, I needed that drop. Thank you.
You fuck with you musically, Waka. You know, in the environments, man, I grew up around, like, you know, I come up from a go-go era where it's not a call and response, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Waka's records, that's what they invoke. They make the crowd respond. Like, and that's what it's about in D.C., at least, on the party scene.
So do you think that success of the song is going to influence maybe the direction of your new music or the next album you're working on?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Ellie. Like, the first album, I love it. It's my baby. It's my heart and soul. But the direction, I wasn't in control. You know how it is when you sound with a major. You're not 100% control over everything. But I think I've proven myself from selling, 28,000 records the first week, and we at 200,000 now.
Yeah.
Like, roughly around 200,000. Like, that's a hell of an increase. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think I've proven to myself that I've proven to the labels and, you know, whoever I'm in business with that I could be consistent. But I think I had so much to say on the first album, and I think the second album will be sonically more in the same direction.
You know what I'm saying?
Because attention down to the theme of it was to be all over the place. Like 90210 is completely different than TV and radio, which is completely different than Shade. I think it's all going to come from one spot of my brain this time. Where attention deficit is like no Ritalin, no fucking Excedrin, just go in the studio all over the place. This one is going to be more focused on one sound and one vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a Blueprint or a Reasonable Doubt or Graduation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, you definitely, you know, that record still has legs though, you know what I mean? And you know, the thing is, your name's always been up, you know, all kind of controversy sometimes too, you know? So you staying in the mix. Yeah. Like, the thing with situation with Kid Cudi, do you feel like that stuff's completely dead? Like, do you feel like there's still a conversation that needs to be had or moved on?
I fuck, man, like, I'm not a hate. Like, you know, when Jay said, "I don't need to hate on niggas, hate on me bumping that pop shit." Like, I'll be listening to the motherfucking Christian Dior Denim Flow and the motherfucking Blame Game and all that. Like, I fuck with them good music, some of the good music shit. Like, I ain't on that shit. And I talk to Malik Yousef often, and I have a lot of shows with Sean or whatever. I think that was just, I mean, it was just, it could have been a strategic movie, it could have been whatever, but at the same time, I'm like, dude ain't in a good spot you know, as far as, like, for personally, like, you know what I'm saying? And he might be winning on the charts and whatever, but I don't think he's all the way right, you know? Mm-hmm. And at one time we was friends, we were kicking it every day, performing a mask with Red Garden, and I can't do that. That's not the type of person I am. If I fuck with you like that at one point, especially when you're down, I'm not going to be like, yo, man, I'm not gonna put your dirt out there. I mean, I think that's probably why you're acting like, because, you know, I know so much. But the way I was brought up, I won't do that. Like, just let them live, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was just crazy because, you know, the internet, they took that saying, you know, we don't fuck with you musically. Like, it's a meme, you know? So then it has a life of its own, you know? So it becomes even bigger than you and him, you know? It becomes a saying that.
But I like it, though, because, like, regardless, let's just say in a crazy man's world, that's nobody on that side rock with me musically, right? Which isn't true, but let's just say that there's so many similarities in a lot of our music that it sounds almost like crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, listen to the Blame Game, and listen to War. Not to say he took War and made the Blame Game, but it's so many similarities.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna play some quick joints. Can you stay with me? I want to ask you a couple more things.
Okay,
because I know you're about to make a move now. I don't know if we can really talk about it, but, you know, your career may go in transition. Wait, save it. We'll be right back, Wally, okay?
All right.
Shade 4-5.